It is now time for class session 539 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. We've been reading about what Nathan the prophet had said to David, how that he would raise up his son after him, and that his son would build that temple that David desired to build. But God had a warning that if that son would turn from him, that he would bring upon him hardship and chasten him. He said he would chasten him with the rod of men. And God used wicked nations to chastise Solomon and the Jews when Solomon turned away from God. We've been reading about that in 1 Kings chapter 11. And I want to go back a little bit in that reading so we have a complete reading here. Beginning in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 26. And read about how God had raised up Jeroboam against Solomon. We read in 1 Kings chapter 11, 26, "And Jeroboam the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite of Zereda, a servant of Solomon, whose mother's name was Zerah, a widow, he also lifted up his hand against the king, and this was the reason why he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breach of the city of David his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon saw the young man that he was industrious. And he gave him charge over all the labor of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way. Now Ahijah had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. And Ahijah lay hold on the new garment that was on him, and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, Take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith Jehovah the God of Israel, Behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have 1 tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me, and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the goddess of Moab, Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon. And they have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes, to keep my statutes and my ordinance, as did David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David my servant's sake, whom I chose, who kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand, and will give unto thee even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give 1 tribe, that David my servant may have a lamp always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen to put my name there. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in mine eyes, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and will build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel unto thee. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. But Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt, unto Shishak king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon." We are going to continue this study, but before we do, I need to pause and remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And I'm going to continue to give this special invitation to be part of our Wednesday evening Bible studies. We're calling it Community Heart to Heart Bible studies, as we examine some of the things that are in that publication that some of you may have received in the mail, House to House, Heart to Heart. Now with that, let's return to our studies. We've been talking about how God had told David that if this son of his, this Solomon, would turn from him, then he would be disciplined in his throne, that he would be, God would raise up adversaries against him. But then God also said to David in this passage, he said, I will not take my loving kindness away from him as I took it away from him that was before thee. Now the one that was before David here was Saul. Saul sinned willfully and presumptuously, and God rejected him as king and his family as the royal line. God destroyed Saul's family and gave the kingdom to David and his family. He promised not to remove the kingdom from Solomon's family as he had taken it away from Saul's family. David's family should remain the royal family, and the kingdom should be sure to remain in it forever. His throne shall be established forever. As stated above, this was on condition that David's descendants would be loyal to God. The earthly kingdom went down when all were carried into captivity. But the promise was fulfilled in Christ, the seed of David, who reigns in this spiritual kingdom. Christians, the children of God today, are the Israel of God. In Galatians 6 and verse 16 we read, And as many as shall walk by this rule, peace be upon them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. And in context, we can tell that's talking about God's church. Christ has the sure mercies of David. Isaiah 55 and verse 3 says, Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And we read in Acts chapter 13 and verse 34, And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, so no more to return to corruption, he hath spoken on this wise, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. In 1 Chronicles 17, verse 15, we read, According to all these words and according to all this vision did Nathan speak unto David. These were to David greater blessings than being permitted to simply build the temple. And then David expressed his gratitude for what God had done for him. And in this, we really start getting into the text for this Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sundays of March 16th, 1924. You may want to turn in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we'll be looking at this verse by verse and following Elam's notes along as we do. It says in 2 Samuel 7 and verse 18, Then David the king went in and sat before Jehovah, and he said, Who am I, O Lord Jehovah, and what is my house, that thou hast brought me thus far? These blessings and promises filled David with deepest and most profoundest gratitude. He went in and sat before Jehovah, and offered the thanksgiving of his prayer. Sitting before Jehovah is an act of humility and trust. These promises of God to David were great and wonderful. He seemed overwhelmed with them and was willing to wait upon God to fulfill them in his own goodness and wisdom and according to his own purpose. We are reminded here of the expression, His precious and exceeding great promises, which God had made through Christ to all who serve him in faithfulness. Who am I, David said. Feeling his own insignificance and unworthiness, David asked this and the following question, And what is mine house that thou hast brought me thus far? David asked the same when King Saul offered him a daughter to wife in 1 Samuel 18:18. There David said unto Saul, Who am I and what is my life? Are my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king when Jehovah appeared unto Moses in the burning bush to send him to Pharaoh to bring Israel out of Egypt. Moses said, "Who am I that he should be sent on so important a mission for Jehovah?" Jacob said, "I am not worthy of the least of all thy loving kindnesses and of all thy truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two companies." Abraham, the father of the faithful, and the friend of God, in whose seed all the families of the earth have been blessed, spoke of himself as but dust and ashes, Genesis 18:27. What a contrast, the faith and trust and humility of Abraham, Jacob, Moses, David, Paul, and others make for the self-importance, self-conceit, and self-assured of not a few of the present generation. All should be seriously impressed with God's injunction against thinking of one's self more highly than should be done, of being wise in one's own conceits, of self-exaltation at his command to consider others better than oneself. The men and women in all ages of the greatest faith, sublimest trust, deepest humility, and most implicit obedience have always been most useful and greatest in God's servant. By the question above, David did not boast of his blood. This refers only to the past, that which God had already done for David. God states this as follows in verses 8 through 10. "I took thee from the sheepcote, and from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be prince over my people. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and I have cut off thine enemies from before thee. And I will make thee a great name, like unto the names of the great ones in the earth." We read in Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72, "He chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, and that they have young, and their young he brought unto him, to be the shepherd of Jacob his people, in Israel his inheritance. So he was their shepherd according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." God had guided and protected him through the vicissitudes of his eventful life. God was with him in Saul's house when he dared to fight Goliath for God's glory, when he was hunted by Saul as one hunts ravenous wild beast, when he hid in caves and sought protection among the Moabites and the Philistines, when he fought the Amalekites, the Philistines, and all the foreign enemies, and God had cut them all off. And this God had done for him, and David felt under obligation to God for it. But God would do still more. We read about David's gratitude for what God promised to do for him in the future. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 19. "And this was yet a small thing in thine eyes, O Lord Jehovah. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And this too shall come after the manner of men, O Lord Jehovah." In verse 19, "as if it was a small thing in thine eyes." That is, all that God had done for David. And then yet he spoke of things to come. God said, "I will make of thee a great name, like unto the name of the greatest ones that are in the earth." That is, a name as great as the names of the kings of the earth. David was human, and sinned through his wickedness, as do all men in his weakness. But in his heart he was loyal to God, and sought the honor and glory of God. It says, "And I will appoint a place for my people." This probably means a permanent place, which he had promised for his name and worship, where the temple was built, and to which the people could come regularly, as commanded. We'll follow up on this in our next class period.